Our psalm lesson for today is Psalm 25, verses 1 through 10. Advent is a complicated time. It's an in-between time, a time of not yet and already. And it may seem odd to preach from the psalm text, but in it today is a gospel message, a message of hope, really of our only hope, which is our trust in God. Let us share this Psalm 25, 1 through 10. Listen to these words for the word of the Lord. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be put to shame. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Do not let those who wait for you be put to shame. Let them be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, and therefore God instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his decrees. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Millions of people today continue living after having bouts with cancer. Years ago, Irma Bombeck, herself a survivor of breast cancer, said, "Every time I forget to be grateful to be among the survivors, I hear the voice of 8-year-old Christina, who had cancer of the nervous system. When I asked what she wanted for her birthday, she thought long and hard and finally said, 'I don't know. I have 2 sticker books and a Cabbage Patch doll. I have everything I really need.'" The kid is right. And when we dare to move right from Thanksgiving into the flurry of shopping and making Christmas lists of what we want, or to the shopping frenzy of the stores that some of us take advantage of on Black Friday, and some of us shake our heads and chuckle about, what if we changed our focus from what we want to what we have? If we went a step further, we could change our focus from what we want or what we have to what we give. If we really listened to the psalmist and made this our wish list, "In you I trust, O God, teach me, guide me, protect me." It's already one of those individual psalms with the word "me, me, me" recurring, but it still has a wholesome ring to it. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. The path of helping someone. The path of teaching someone, of being a spiritual guide, maybe. Not the path to success or to the next investment or the next wave of popularity. God is light, and in God there is no darkness. Doesn't it make sense for us to ask God to show us God's ways? What are God's ways? Some preachers will be glad to tell you what they think God's ways are. This one's glad to just quote some scripture. And from this psalm, lead me in your truth. Not just truth, but your truth, O God. Teach me. For you I wait, or I run ahead. Remember your mercy and love, O Lord. Instruct your people. Lead the humble in what is right and teach us your way. These are good prayers. The prayers of a generation of psalmists. Lead us on your path of steadfast love and faithfulness. No doubt these are paths of light. Paths of living in the light rather than living in shadows. We need to follow the light. And as the wise men or the kings made their sojourn to Bethlehem following the light of a star, so the shepherds also followed the light of the angels that tore open the heavens, and their music led them. Following the light is a good thing. It's no wonder that in the New Testament we have the promise that Jesus is the light of the world. But we also have Jesus saying, you are the light of the world, because you and I are called to reflect that light. Some of you have probably been night skiing. It's been a long time, but I have. At Keystone in Colorado. It's one of the few places up there that actually has light poles on some of the slopes. One of the best deals about it is on those slopes, the lifts don't close. Other slopes in other resorts, lifts close about 3:45 in the afternoon. You can't go up and take that last run because they don't want somebody to get stranded on the mountain at around 5 o'clock or a little before when the sun goes down. But at Keystone, they have some slopes that are lighted so that you can actually stay on the mountain. You don't have to go home when the lift closes on the other slopes. You can go to the one that has lights. But it's really strange skiing. Because even though the light posts are pretty tall, they're still off to the side of the slopes, so that when you ski down the center, the light comes at you from the side. And as you approach it, you can see the light on the pole. But as you come up even with it, and as you pass it, your shadow actually passes you and becomes in front of you. And it's very hard when the shadow lies across the moguls in the snow to see where you're going. When I get a ski jacket and a vest on and all the gear that goes with it, I cast a pretty big shadow. And with the light being off to the side like that, it casts a long and broad shadow on the ground in front of you. Shadows can be scary. Suddenly, in that case, you're skiing into your own shadow. And for the time that it takes your eyes to adjust, it's really hard to see where you're going. And seeing where you're going is pretty important when you're skiing down a mountain. So we've launched into a season of light. Christ, our hope, the light of the world, will appear and will illumine our way. Will dispel the shadows and will lead us with the light of truth. This Jesus, who is born in Bethlehem, glows even in the manger. And as a grown man, His spirit and His countenance grows so that wherever He teaches and others learn, darkness is dispelled, shadows are overcome. And Jesus, who is the light, can look at a crowd of people and say, "You are the light. You're not making a shadow. You are reflecting my light." Sometimes light can be unfocused. You know, light can be spread out by the lenses that refract that light, or it can be condensed and put into the finest of beams. The more dispersed the light is, the less bright it is. But a focused beam of light can be intense enough to guide a ship. Or as we've been hearing recently from airplane pilots and crews, that same focused laser-like light can blind a pilot or even cause an airplane to crash. The best prayer that we can pray to Jesus, the light of the world, is to say, "Jesus, show me your ways." As this psalmist says in Psalm 25, "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths." We turn to the light. We turn to Jesus Christ, the light of the world. At first blush, Psalm 25 may seem like an odd song for Advent. But at this time of the year, the songs of Advent and Christmas already fill the airwaves and are heard constantly in malls and stores and vehicles. But here in Psalm 25 is an ancient song, ancient by centuries already by the time Jesus was born. It is a song that pleads for honor in the face of enemies, for the sins of youth being forgiven and forgotten, and for humility in the face of God's way. And here is this psalm, this song, appointed for the first Sunday in Advent. "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Do not let those who wait for you be put to shame. Let them be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Maybe an odd choice at first, but it is an ancient psalm with an urgent and contemporary word. One Roman Catholic priest teaches Advent in this way. He says, "In Advent, the Church celebrates Christ's coming in history, mystery, and majesty." In history, he says, we celebrate on God's surprising historical entry into the world in the birth, life, and death of Jesus of Nazareth. In mystery, we celebrate on the resurrected Christ's mysterious presence wherever two or three gather in Christ's name. And in majesty, we celebrate the promise that one day Christ will come in majesty, wiping away every tear and emptying every grave. These three are the hope of Advent. not just the coming of a baby at Christmas, but the resurrection of the Lord crucified and the return that He will make to wipe away every tear and empty every grave. Reflecting on the wholeness or the totality of life, rather than praying from just one moment of crisis to the next, or one experience of joy to the next, Psalm 25 celebrates the loving and faithful character of God by praying for God's continuing presence in life. Be mindful, it says, of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from old. Don't remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Now, I can remember my grandmother saying, "For goodness sake." Can't you? Maybe this is what she meant. For goodness sake, put your hope where hope counts the most. Put your hope in God's gracious love that is with us now and is with us in the life to come. The term wait here, wait on the Lord, translates a Hebrew word which means both to wait and to hope. Waiting without hope is pretty dismal. But waiting with hope is our only hope. So the waiting that's described here is the waiting with hope. Not just like waiting for a meeting to start or waiting for a light to turn green. Not the kind of waiting like you wait in a hospital room. But perhaps it is waiting where we know the end of the story. It is waiting and hoping and knowing that God is worthy of that hope for God's promises to be kept. We are pulled into Advent by God's promises. You are mine, He says. You are loved. You have been reconciled. You are a new creation. We believe those things. And yet we wait for the fullness of hope for these promises to be fulfilled. God's ways can be mysterious, but we have hope. And Advent is all about hope. We pray to be led into paths of understanding. It is possible for our hope to wane while we are waiting for a trip or a phone call or a check to arrive or news from a doctor. But the hope we have in Christ will not disappoint us. And so, we wait for His arrival in Bethlehem, in our homes, and in our heart.